Good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us today. We're going to start a new series called Guard Your Heart. When I was a kid, I had a tendency for my mouth to get me in a lot of trouble. As a matter of fact, my mom was a very much of the disciplinarian in the family. If I don't know, some of you may sympathize with me, but my mom was of the mindset, if something came out of your mouth, the most quickest reaction was for her to slap her hand right across your face, right across those lips where they tingled a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Anybody understand that tingling, you know? And just enough to make you realize that's not what you're supposed to say. So much so that I learned real quickly. I wasn't a dumb kid. I was a smart kid. When you sit at the dinner table, there's five in our family, so there's always an empty seat. I always made sure that empty seat was right next to my mom. Therefore, when I'd said something, she couldn't have that reach. You know that reach effect? She'd go swinging. I'd duck, and she'd tell my dad, "Hit him!" My dad would say, "Don't you ever do that again, boy." I'd smile at mom and say, "Okay, Dad. Yes, sir." I mean, I remember over and over and over, I was thinking of fond memories. My mom and I were laughing about the other day. She used to just tell me, she says, "You remember the time when I had smarted off to my dad?" And of course, my dad, like I said, a gracious guy, he'd be like, "Well, you know, you shouldn't do that." And immediately, my mom was doing laundry, and she took this shoe, this wet shoe. I mean, with everything in her power, she took it. I mean, she raised my rump right off the floor. And I looked around, and I said, "That hurt." She said, "Good, I wanted it to." And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "You don't talk to your dad that way." And, you know, I always got myself in trouble with my mouth. And, you know, I would often think that, you know, it was just the way I was raised. It's who I was. You know, there's nothing I could do. It's just my genetics, my genetic disposition. I was quick tempered, quick mouth, you know. And over time, my mom and my dad, they spent their time trying to develop in me that this is not what I do. It's behavior modification. Think about it in your situation with your kids. What do? We teach them, "You don't say that. Don't say that." You know, and inevitably, if you have children, they're going to say something. You're like, you know, you've been there, right? You know, I can't tell you how many times you've been in a store and you're like, "Shh," you know, like, "Well, that's what we believe." You don't say it, right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. And we want to train our children how we talk in certain situations. We want to modify their behavior. We modify their behavior of how they act at school. You know, when you go to school, I don't know about you, but we had a rule in my house growing up. If you get in trouble at school, it's double when you come home. Anybody else have that? You know, it's like if it happens at school, it's bad news. You just knew it was bad. You know, you teach them, and there's ways that you act in school, and then there's ways you could act at home. You know, then you transform into, you know, there's ways when you date. Here's some behavior modifications, how you date. When you go and you have your first job, here's how you are supposed to behave. I mean, we know it. You've heard it. "Behave, boy. You know, what's wrong with you?" I've said that to my kids. I've said the same thing said to me. "What's wrong with you?" To which us boys always reply, "I don't know," because we don't know. We really don't know what's wrong. But there's this tension that we live in, of making sure we say the right things and in the right places and don't say certain things and in certain places. And it's a constant battle that goes on. And what happens is we've developed this filter, per se, of what we say and how we say it and when we say it. And every now and then, what happens? That filter runs a little thin and something slips out of our mouth. And we say, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that." Right? Anybody ever done that? Or you may have this. Somebody close to you says, "Where did that come from?" To which you respond, I don't know. "It just came out, you know. I didn't mean to say it." Or we'll say something. We'll say, "Why do you mean to say it that way?" Or my favorite in this generation, we can say whatever we want and say, "Just saying." Right? And I can be mean, but if I say "just saying," everything's cool, you know, because I just said "just saying." But the reality is we say these things, they come out of us. And really what it comes down to is we're trying to modify our behavior. We're trying to act in a certain way to which we think is proper for culture, proper for friends, proper for the right situation. But we ask ourselves, where did that come from? Where is it at? And we learn what to say, when to say it. What happens is when that filter has run thin, we have to recognize it's not enough. Now catch this. It's not enough to simply monitor our behavior. Because we try to monitor our behavior, but it's not enough to monitor behavior. We have to do what? We have to learn to monitor and guard our heart. It's not enough for us just to modify the behavior, but we have to modify and guard our heart. Here's why. Because over time, our filter grows thin and our heart will pierce through and share our true feelings. Now, this is very evident in marriage. If you've been married for any length of time, what happens? You know, in the dating stages, oh, I love you. You're awesome. You're great. There's nothing wrong. And if you've even dated a long time, you've noticed it. Then you kind of get into that factor like, well, I'm going to tell you what I really think, right? And what happens oftentimes, even in marriage, maybe you've said this or heard this said, man, that's not the person I married. But I want to ask you, is it? Because, or is it maybe that the filter we had just grew a little thin? Is it maybe the fact that we got comfortable and our true feelings pierced through? Because we have this struggle of what we say. And over the next couple of weeks, we want to talk about how do we discover, first of all, where that comes from, and also how do we guard from that? I want to talk about a very interesting passage in Matthew chapter 15. Now, what's interesting about Matthew 15 is Jesus is talking. I'm not going to go into all the details because we're going to unpack a lot of this throughout the month in this series. But Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and like normal, he will often use parables, confusing statements that kind of had people wondering. And oftentimes you'll see his disciples will come to him after and they'll say, okay, explain that, please. We have no idea what you meant. And so this is one of those situations. And Jesus is rattling off what he meant. And then he, in the middle of it, he kind of throws this statement in there. And you can tell it's one of those statements you look at and you go, man, that don't even fit with what you're talking about. And you ask yourself, is this important? But you realize, oh, wait, yeah, it came from Jesus' mouth. This is important. And so Jesus throws out this statement that really causes them to pause. And even to us today, causes us to pause. And he says this. Let's read Matthew chapter 15, beginning verse 18. He says this, but the words you speak come from the heart, and that's what defiles you. Now let's stop there for a second. I mean, you know, when he says that, disciples are saying, wait, Jesus, I don't know where you came from, but words, they come from my mind. I thought them, I said them, I think them. And Jesus says, no, they don't. They come from your heart. No. He's like, Jesus, we talk, we say things. I think them, they come out of my... He's like, no, they come from your heart. And he says, and they defile you. And he goes on and he says, let me make you sure you understand this a little better. He says, from the heart comes evil thoughts. Now, you know, they're saying, Jesus, help us here. How do my thoughts come from my heart? And if they're evil, how do they come from my heart? They come from my mind. I think them, I say them. And Jesus says, no, they come from your heart. And he goes on to list some of them. He says, like murder. He says, murder, it comes from the heart. Have you ever watched some of those crime shows, Discovery Channel, you know, or 48 Hours, you know? You ever notice you like to watch those at home when you're alone, and all of a sudden you hear a noise and you're like, what was that? You know, you're like, your tensions rise, the dog barks, and you're like, oh, get the gun, you know, like, hide, you know. All these tensions run and you think somebody's out to get you. But, you know, you watch these shows. What generally are the murders? Where do they come from? Who are the first people they always interview? Family. They go to the family. Why? Because it's often those they're closest to. There's a connection. Why? Why? Because it comes from the heart. People don't just randomly see, most people don't randomly think, hey, I just want to go hurt someone. There is usually some connection, some tie to it, and that's what they try to find. But he goes on, he says, adultery, all sexual immorality. He's saying anything that happens, the decisions you make that cause pain, they don't come from your mind. They come from your heart. And this is just mind-boggling to disciples and even to us. Because we often perceive, well, it's what I think. It's what I think. What he's saying here is no. Out of your mouth, it comes where? From the heart. It didn't come from the mouth. It comes from the heart. So just saying really means I said what I really felt. But I put just saying on the end, so we're good, right? You know, I mean, think about it. Or when we say it, we're like, ugh, I didn't mean to say that. The truth is, I probably did, but my filter did not catch it. And what I need to do is learn to build that filter. I mean, we've heard it as kids. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. What are we doing? Filter. Build up our filter. But yet, there's a disconnect, isn't it? Because at some point, your filter will run thin. At some point, you will say something that you regret. Why? Because that's not intended. It's not a heart. It's not a mind issue. It's not a filter issue. It's a heart issue. You see, know this. What comes out of your mouth is evidence of what's in your heart. Now, I know some of you are saying, I don't agree with that. And I said, that's fine. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Take it up with him, right? I mean, this is Jesus' words. He says, out of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so what does that mean? What comes out of your mouth is evidence of what? What's in your heart. Now, sometimes our filters catch it and we modify it. We're good at it in the South, aren't we? You know, how you bless your heart. You know, I'm doing good. You know, we don't mean it. Have you ever asked somebody how you doing? Everybody's doing good. Isn't it amazing? Everybody's doing good, but we still have problems in the world, right? Hey, I'm doing great. Inside, I'm not, but I'm going to tell you that because, hey, there's this filter that we have. And yet, here it's saying, what comes out of your mouth is a direct evidence of what's in your heart. But let me tell you why this is so important. Solomon, one of the wisest men in the world, according to Scripture, he writes the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, there is literally hundreds, if not thousands, of nuggets of wisdom to help you develop and grow as a human being. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he gives a very important statement. He says this, guard your heart above all else. Or other versions say, above all else, guard your heart. Now, what do you think above all else means? Above all else. It's not that hard, is it? He's saying, out of everything that is taught, out of everything, all the nuggets of wisdom I'm downloading to you, know this, guard your heart. Why does he tell you to guard your heart? Well, in case you need the answer, he gives it to you. For it determines the course of your life. In other words, it determines the direction you are facing. There's a principle called the principle of the path. And what the principle of the path simply states is this. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. In other words, it doesn't matter what I may say. I may say I'm headed south, but if I'm headed north, I'm headed north, aren't I? I can declare to everyone I'm headed south. But if I'm headed north, my direction, not my intention, determines my destination. This is exactly playing true in this setting. That it doesn't matter necessarily what I say, it's what I do. So he's telling you, guard your heart. Why? Because it will literally be a compass for your life. It will literally set you in the path that you need to go. In other words, if your heart is full of hurt, pain, malice, greed, anger, jealousy, guess what's going to happen? It's going to lead you to a negative side. If your heart is full of love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, what's going to happen? It's going to lead you to positive things. So he's telling you, guard your heart. But Jesus is telling us is that my heart is a filter. It's a direct connection to my mouth. So I can try to place filters over them and cause myself to say things and react and act a certain way. But the reality is it's not true to who I am. Because eventually at some point in my life, it's going to wear thin. And I'm going to say something that I don't mean to say. I was telling Mandy this morning when I was looking at this, I was like, man, I'm preaching to myself this morning, you know, because I know that if anybody has a problem with this, I just told you from the beginning of my life, that's been an issue. Watch your mouth. You say things you shouldn't say. But really, maybe I shouldn't be saying watch your mouth, but guard your heart. Because if I said it, I can fluff it off as something, but the reality is, this is what I need to monitor. I don't need to be monitoring my behavior. Instead, I need to be monitoring and guarding my heart. Why? Because Jesus said, this is what can defile you. It's what can destroy your life. So how do you guard your heart? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about it. We're going to look at how do I guard, how do I protect my heart so that I won't say, that I won't act, that I won't do things that are hurtful, but instead honor God. We're going to look at areas that, one, how we can clean our heart, areas that Jesus gives us very clearly of warning signs or whatever you want to call them, guardrails to prohibit us from doing things that we shouldn't do. We're going to unpack that over the next 4 weeks. Because the reality is we can't do it all here today, but the principle we have to learn today is I've got to begin the process of guarding my heart. Not necessarily monitoring my behavior of how I act, but instead guarding my heart. Now, I know that some of you here today that, you know, this doesn't apply to you, right? You know, you don't have that problem, but you know somebody it does, right? Yeah, we've all been there, right? So I know someone who could, yeah. Reality is, I want to challenge you, though, is to look inside yourself and say, is there anything in my heart that could cause me to act or react or say in ways that I'm not proud of? Because I think if we're all honest, we've all dealt that. The reason for that is this. If you've lived life, you've experienced pain. If you've lived for any moment of life, you've experienced at some point. Now, it may be levels of pain. It may be what some have experienced may be different than others, but it doesn't matter. You've experienced pain. And if you've experienced pain, how you react to that pain ultimately will be a direct indicator of what's in your heart. If someone hurts you, are some initial response is what? Response is what? Anger. Some response is what? Hurt, and we retract, we hide. But then if we don't deal with that anger, what does that anger turn into? Bitterness. And before we know it, we're destroying ourselves inside, and yet everything else around us is affected. My mom, a quote I heard of my whole life was, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's not going to benefit you. But yet we don't realize how we get there because it started with just hurt. And yet when it gets in our heart, guess what happens? It spills out. That's why there's a principle also that lays out that says this, hurt people hurt people. That's how it is. When you're hurt, your natural response is to do what? Defend. You ever watch the animal channel? You know, you see those, when you have an injured animal, what do? They naturally turn into what? The predator themselves. They're trying to defend. They're trying to fight for their lives. Often what happens in our lives is because we're hurt, we naturally become in that attack mode. Even though it's not our intention to hurt people, but it's all why. Not because we're bad people. Not because there's something wrong with us. It's because somewhere along the line, our heart got hurt. We weren't able to guard our heart. And by not guarding our heart, what happened? It allowed things to get inside. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about how do I get those things out? What does Scripture tell me? How do I find healing in the midst of all the pain that I have? And through that, spread joy, spread love. Why? Because it changes within my heart. So here's the catch. In all these things, though, all of us, there's a pushback. Because inside of all of us, at some level, we're going to say, that's just how I am. That's not me. But the truth is, it didn't happen overnight. Like, you can find people who say, I'm angry, right? I'm angry, I'm mad. You can find people who say, I'm jealous. You don't find people who say, I'm greedy, do you? Hey, I'm a greedy guy. I'm greedy. No, we don't. But yet, those are elements that can destroy our lives. Sometimes we're going to unpack some things that you may not even realize could cause hurt and pain, could cause you to feel and act differently. And my prayer is that through this series, that God's going to bring healing to so many of your hearts, that His love, His joy, His kindness is going to come out of us. We can't help it. But I want to just end today with this question, asking you a couple of questions. I want to ask you a couple of questions today that may help you see the condition of your heart. Maybe you're saying, I don't know. Maybe just close your eyes, and I want you to answer these questions personally for yourself as we close. Question number one, is everything okay in your heart? Are you mad at anyone? Are you waiting for someone to come talk to you? Have you had any extended imaginary conversations with someone, or maybe that person? Do things come out of your mouth that surprise you? Have you secretly celebrated someone else's failure? Are there any secrets in your life that you hope no one finds out? Are there questions you hope no one will ever ask you? And have you lied to someone you love? You see, the answers to those questions may give you a direct condition of your heart. Maybe as we were talking, you were saying, and the Lord was speaking to you, saying, hey, the enemy's hurt you. He's pierced your heart, but today I want to bring healing there. Today I want you to know that I love you. You see, how you respond determines the direction we head in our lives. We can say, I don't care. And allow that hurt and pain to continue. Or we can say, God, I'm gonna give it to you. I want to find healing in my heart, and I want to trust you. I want to lock the key in my heart, not allow Satan to penetrate and bring harm and hurt to me. Doesn't mean he's not going to try. Lord, I want to put you back in my life. In Ephesians, we see Paul write about the armor. Isn't it interesting that one of the pieces of the armor is the breastplate of righteousness? What does it cover? My heart. It protects me from the darts of the enemy. Because the enemy is going to put attacks against you and cause you and make you feel the pain. Wants you to become angry, to respond, to basically break down that filter you have. But if you will today say, Lord, I'm going to release this to you. I'm going to trust in you. I want to put you first in my life, and I want to guard my heart. I know that God's going to come in and help you today. With no one looking around, we never want to close without giving you the opportunity to accept Christ as your Savior. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. Maybe you've asked him into your heart before, but you know what? Life's gotten crazy, or hurt or pain has happened, and you've walked away. But today you want to say, you know what, Lord? I want to put you first. Whether it's accepting him for the first time, or whether it's simply coming back to him, I want to give you that chance. With no one looking around, we don't want to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out. I just want to pray with you right where you're sitting. But if you're here today and you want to acknowledge and say, hey, pray for me. I want to make a change today. I want to put him first in my life. With no one looking around, would you just make eye contact with me? I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Amen. You said, hey, pray for me. Amen. Anybody else? Praise God. We're going to pray today. In Romans chapter 10, it tells us if we pray, we confess with our mouth that he is Lord and believe in our heart, we are saved. The confession comes when we pray. We confess him as Lord. The belief comes when we put it into action. We begin to follow him. We begin to read his word and become a disciple that makes disciples. We follow the Great Commandment and the Great Commission and make it an evident part of our lives. And if you responded today, I want you to make that your prayer. Maybe you didn't respond, but you want to pray. You say, God, I want to put you first. Or maybe you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Would you go ahead and pray with us, not to single anybody out, and just as well remind yourself of what God did for you and the love, the confession, and the moment you began to serve Him. But let's all pray this prayer together, if you would. Say, Dear Jesus, I come to you today, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, heal my heart that I can become one with you. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says that angels in heaven are rejoicing with you, and we rejoice as well. All of heaven's throwing a big celebration, amen? They're saying, praise God, you have made a decision. But now, it's not just praying. It is making a decision to follow Him, to serve Him. And that starts with guarding your heart. So I want to challenge you as you leave this service today and throughout the week, think about that. Think about, hey, behavior modification. I want to work against the filter. I want to work more on guarding my heart, not necessarily watching what I say, but guarding my heart so that what comes out will be that which reflects the attitude of Christ, as we read in Philippians chapter 2. That my heart will exude the humbleness, the joy, the peace, the love that the fruit of the Spirit produce. Because as you get close to Christ, that's what's going to come out. And like I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack some of these huge obstacles that we face. What are they? One, two, how do I combat against it? And as we, in what Scripture tells us, to allow us to find healing and find protection for our heart. Amen.